We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 99 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I've been in the video game industry for a very, very long time, longer than I like to admit at some point. I'm also the mother of a five-year-old. I'm joined by fellow mom Regina McMenemy, who is from the Geek Embassy and is the mother of a three-year-old and is author of the forthcoming book Mothering the Game. Hi, Regina.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. We are also joined by a resident dad. Of course we're joined by a resident dad, Stephen Deuceman, who is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com and the father of three. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay. I thought you were going to make a comment about my comment that you're always here.
Oh, I was about to get this. So I was going to, but I wanted to get the niceties out of the way before I got to be sarcastic. So my question is, are you like taking me for granted? Is that like what this is? You're just going to assume that I'm just going to just show up every Wednesday and record? Because, I mean, you're right. But, like, I just want to make sure that I'm not taken for granted, you know?
Okay.
I just want to be appreciated, that's all.
Never, Stephen. Never, ever would I take you
for
granted.
We appreciate you.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I'm appreciated. What for? You'll notice nobody's saying what I'm appreciated for, listeners. If you have suggestions on what I might be appreciated for, you can tweet at me. And we can chat about it. I'm sure Lois will have some kind of sarcastic remark to say, as he normally does. I want to say something super fast. If I sound distracted, it's only because I'm playing a text-based role-playing game while we're recording. That's all. I just want to remind everybody.
Oh, jeez. You're playing that Dragon Realms game?
Don't mind me. See, because it's kind of like easy to do, and I can't stop. I think I have a problem.
Yeah, you might.
Oh, jeez.
If you can't stop gaming to record a podcast about gaming, the gaming
is right there.
The issue.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Really, I'm just standing there. Yeah. I'm not actually doing anything. Okay. But
for
I
now.
Promise.
Until somebody stabs you with a sword. No?
They're pigs.
No, we had to look.
No swords. No swords. No swords. There are pigs.
No, nobody has a sword.
There are
okay.
pigs. So, yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out for people in case I feel distracted. It's fine. It's fine. I only have a little bit of a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter is absolutely in love with the characters of Final Fantasy 15. I think I talked about it last week, how they were all camping with her at this thing in her bedroom. So now she has started talking to them while they're playing, and my husband tries to do the voices of the characters to talk back to her. But
I
last
very
night,
desperately
or the night
want
before,
to hear your husband do Prompto. I so desperately want to hear Prompto.
Well, you know what? I told him that he needs to meet up with you guys at least a little bit at E3, so you can ask him to do it then.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so now she's doing this thing where at dinner, she'll like nothing, and she'll put her hand on her side. Hey, knock. Like she's talking on the phone. Like she's got a phone for all of her Final Fantasy characters that she talks to.
Well,
and I'm like,
fair.
No phone calls during dinner. No phone calls during dinner. And then my husband was like making like the voice, like talking to her. And I'm like, no phone calls during dinner. And he's like, oh, yeah, I got to go or, you know, whatever. I was like, wow. She loves that game so much. It's just it's amazing to me.
She's the only reason
that Isaac still plays it. Absolutely the only reason that he's still playing it.
Fine.
So.
He's better. He's a better person for it. So, I mean, it's funny because they have a cell phone, too. I mean, it's a Final Fantasy game,
but Knocked has
his own phone.
Yeah.
And he calls people on it. It really did change my world when I was playing a Final Fantasy game and during a cutscene, the main character pulled out his iPhone and called another NPC. Whereas, like, in Final Fantasy IV, you know, you gotta get on, like, an airship. You gotta, like, fly around the world.
Yeah.
Homie just called somebody. He, like, literally just pulled out his phone. And called people. It was, like, it took me a second to realize what was happening.
Yeah. The other thing, too, which I had no idea about, is Anna, she started talking about cup noodles. And I'm like, how the heck do you know anything about cup noodles? I'm like, we don't buy that crap. And she doesn't read well enough to be able to read it in the store. And then Isaac informs me that there's product placement for cup noodles in Final Fantasy 15. Really?
She's gonna want a Coleman. She's gonna want like a Coleman tent next, because they have the product placement is there's like a whole campsite that's all Coleman stuff.
Oh wow!
And there's cup noodles. Yeah. There's a whole quest line about finding ingredients to put in cup noodles.
Cup noodles. I know. And Isaac informed me of that last night.
It's a terrible quest line. But it's funny because it's about cup noodles. And, right. So the guy who loves cup noodles is the big guy. I forget his name now. It's been a little bit since I played it. But the big guy.
You forget his name. Isn't it Gladio or something like that?
Listen.
Oh, yeah. See, I know the name of the character, and I don't even play the game.
Okay, so let's put a pin in my ability to remember names for a moment, and then I'll come back to it after I finish with the story. Gladio is like this big, hulking, like, Drax from Guardians kind of dude. Like, he's just this big guy. Mm-hmm. And he earnestly loves him some cup noodles. Like, this is not meant to be ironic. This is not like, you know, a gamer being all like, yeah, let's get some Mountain Dew. You know, like, which is like half the time is really funny because nobody really likes Mountain Dew. You just drink it, right? Like, yeah. I drink it and even I don't really like it. It's carbonated Ecto Cooler. Like, but I still drink it. But only the diet. Regular Mountain Dew tastes like bad. It just tastes like bad stuff. But like,
it all tastes bad.
Well,
yellow. It's yellow.
It's not yellow. It's green. It's green.
It's fluorescent. It's fluorescent yellow.
It's green. Yeah.
Anyway,
yellow is green. These things should not be
in
consumed.
He's just so earnest in his desire to play or to eat cup noodles. It's freaking hysterical. You know, like, I just can't even stop. It's just so funny. So,
yeah,
I'm it's funny. Are you going to get her like a cup noodle stuffy? Cuz they have plushy cup noodles. Cuz I know you won't buy her the real thing so that she would eat it. And I understand that. That's not good for nobody.
No.
That's like emergency food, like that we put like on the emergency shelf at our house.
Yeah. Right.
But
right,
like,
cuz it never goes bad and it can just sit there forever.
Cuz it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's fine in like an absolute emergency, or for fat guys like me. It's different. It's different. She has health to be preserved. I do not. There's a difference. But yeah, I mean, they make plushy cup noodles. I have no idea.
Okay.
Listen, I mean, if she's down with the cup noodles, I mean, you don't want to deprive her of that, just of the experience. You just don't want her to eat it.
Yeah.
You can also.
Well, I mean, she accompanied me to the grocery store yesterday. And like, this was before I knew about the whole cup noodle thing. But now that I know it, I think I'm going to have to like reroute how I navigate the grocery store so that she doesn't pass them, because they're in the soup aisle.
Yep.
And we get like, she has this soup that we all love. It's like roasted red pepper and tomato soup. We have soup and grilled cheese like once a week because we know that she will eat that, and she doesn't eat lots of things that I serve for dinner. So, but the cup noodles are in the same aisle as that soup. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to, yeah. I'm glad that I know now. So anyhow, yes.
I mean,
I had no idea that that was in the game though. Oh, I was like, what?
The first time I saw it, like, it's on the side of a food truck. I was running out of, like, the one city. Like, I'm sure, like, it's right outside a fast travel point. If you're curious, I'm sure Isaac could show you in less than 2 minutes, because it's right outside a fast travel point. And there's just a food truck with cup noodles on the side. I'm like, what in the hell is this? And so I ran over, and there was a quest. And I was like, all right, I have to do the fat guy quest. And I did it. And then after doing it a couple times, because it's always like, go here and get this ingredient, go here and get this ingredient. After a little while, I was like, okay, not only is this basically a fetch quest, I play WoW for this, but it was it was just not super entertaining. I mean, it was fine, but the rewards were not enough. But it was super funny listening to the first line, because just listening to Gladius be like, no, man. And cup noodles, they're this amazing nutritional snack that'll help you, blah, 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 blah. And he's just, like, giving this, like, reading ad copy on NPR, but it's, like, this giant tattooed dude with a two-handed sword. It was the best.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I'm not even kidding. Anyway.
No, I believe you. All right, so right before we started recording, we're actually recording late today. Thanks, Nintendo. Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct that was all about ARMS. All about ARMS.
95% about ARMS.
Oh, really? I didn't start right at the beginning. What did they say?
Well,
what
did, they say besides ARMS? Did you watch until the end where they showed the trailer about Splatoon 2?
Oh, no. I stopped. Because the little announcer guy was like, you can go visit blah, blah, blah now. And, like, this is the end of the video. So I just, I stopped. I didn't realize that there was a trailer for Splatoon 2.
That's okay. I watched. Okay. I did my job.
Okay. Oh, okay. You know what? I did my job too. Because watching those Nintendo Directs is not something that I generally enjoy. So, because they're just too cheesy for me. Like, I'm like they'll start out, they'll do something cheesy. I'm like, okay, I hope they got it out of their system, but no. It's cheese on top of cheese on top of cheese, and it just drives me nuts.
You know Nintendo is a Japanese company, right? I just want to clarify.
Yes, I know. Like, so is Sony. So is Sony. PlayStation stuff isn't cheesy.
Yeah, Sony's never done anything cheesy. Never. Sony is also not a toy company. This is an important differentiation to make. Yeah. Sony makes consumer electronics. Nintendo makes freaking toys. That's always been the difference. Yeah. And I know, I get it. You're an adult. I'm a child. I get it. You remind me of this all the time. Part of that might be because you're older than me. Not sure. But
right.
Listen, if Simone's not going to be here, somebody has to do it. So, so they make toys. Like, that's what toy makers do, you know? I mean, they have more in common with Hasbro than with Sony, even though they make video games. Yeah. And so,
yeah, I mean, it's just all part and parcel of their brand. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be Nintendo if it didn't have, like, and if it didn't have it, you'd probably be like, oh, wow, what's so serious?
Yeah. Could you imagine if Kimishima came out and just came out onto a stage
with no cheese?
With, like, suit, no tie, you know, like trying Cup to be cash, but knowing that there's investors there, like the guys at Sony do,
right.
And like rolls out and he's like, first off, we'd like to thank everyone. Let's have a little applause, you know, and like did like the stuffy, like PlayStation conference. Like, I love PlayStation press conferences. I can't wait to see the one in a couple of weeks. But the reality is, man, like, they're so stuffy and obnoxious. Whereas now Nintendo is just like, forget about it. Ever since My Body is Ready, Nintendo was like, nope, we got, remember My Body is Ready? You worked at IGN when that happened, I'm sure. When Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Yeah, I don't remember.
When Reggie Fils-Aimé came out and said, My Body is Ready. Listen, Reggie. Like, that's when they said, you know what? This is not the right, because if you say that in Nintendo Direct, nobody cares. Because Nintendo Directs are meant to be weird. He said it on a stage in front of, like, thousands of people. And come on, man. So, I watched the Nintendo Direct, and the only issue I had was that I don't really want to play ARMS. Like, so...
What? I thought you would be all into this.
No, he said that before. He was not into it before, too.
Yeah, so like... Yeah, hold on.
Don't knock your mic over out of excitement.
I totally dumped my microphone into my pasta. Hold on. I'm getting a new microphone. Very soon.
Okay. Podcasting.
Can you guys hear me?
Are you going to join the Blue Club? Yeti Blue Club.
No, something like that. I have a budget because I have someone buying it for me. So, I don't know. I'm gonna go
right now.
I have a lot of stuff that's going to be delivered to my house very soon. So, one of them being a microphone. I have to give this back to the guy who gave me my microphone. He actually loaned it to me. He sold all of his belongings.
How long ago?
Yeah, right?
Oh, He borrowed it. He loaned it to me a long time ago, he emailed me saying that he wanted it back because he sold all of his belongings, bought a motorhome, and is now driving across the United States, and he's going to blog about it and do a podcast. And I was like, well, I mean, it's yours. I can't keep it.
Yeah.
Anyway, although I guess maybe I didn't destroy it because you guys can still hear me. But so, so ARMS.
It just might smell a little of pasta.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little noodly, but it's fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. So, ARMS. Yeah, I don't know that I want to play it. I don't.
Wow.
Here's the good news. I didn't feel the same way about ARMS that I did about Splatoon before before the test fires. So they announced the global test punch, which I think is hilarious. And I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to I'm going to play it during the global test fires. And maybe it'll be awesome and I'm just missing something. But I'm certainly not going to be able to buy it day one because it would be a $130 purchase because we would have to buy arms and another set of Joy-Cons because we only have one. So it's just really expensive for a Nintendo game that comes out the week before E3. Like,
right.
Because it comes out. Yeah. When does it come out? Let's see here. Because that's the one thing I don't think they actually mentioned in the direct, even though I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember hearing the release date. I know that the test punches or whatever they're called, there's a couple of them in May, and then I think there were a couple of them at the like the first week in June.
It comes out right around E3, at which point I'm not gonna have a lot of money because my understanding is that LA is very expensive, so I'm not gonna be buying random video games probably during the summer. But then again, like, the summer is already getting kind of crowded. This is one of those games that I may have to miss because I just don't have enough time and it comes out at the wrong time. My kids are a little bit more excited about it than I am. My oldest is, you know, it piqued his interest. However, I mean, I don't know. Like, I like fighting games, but this looks like a really weird-ass fighting game. It feels like...
Well, it's Nintendo, Steven. Yeah, but what do you expect?
If I'm going to spend $120 on a fighting game, I would rather buy the season pass for seasons 2 of Street Fighter V and a fight stick or two. Like... For the same amount of money, I could buy two reasonable fight sticks and the season pass for Street Fighter V and play that. And I would much rather do that right now.
Wow.
But I'm going to do the test fires. I mean, we're going to have preview coverage up on EFG. I'm going to write about it. I'm excited to try it. It's just, man, I don't know. it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to be a smash surprise success the same way Splatoon was, or it's going to bomb. There is mild success.
There's no in between.
There's no like, is going to be, you know, fair to middling. No, it's either going to be like the game of the year coming out of nowhere, or it's going to be that game that came out the first year of the Switch that everybody forgot about.
So was it they revealed some new characters.
Yep.
There's going to be like 10. I think they said 10 characters. Each character has 3 different special arms, I think, that they can use.
Well, they have 3 signature arms, which means those are the ones they start with.
Oh, okay.
And you can earn more. So there's 10 characters. They start with 3 weapons. I'm not going to call them arms. I refuse. They get 3 weapons. Shut up, Nintendo. They're weapons.
Well, for the one new character, it's not arms. It's her hair.
They're still weapons, yeah, but those are, I don't get it. My daughter loves her, by the way. I actually, again, this is still a PSA since we're talking about arms. Don't do a Google search for Ribbon Girl. I repeat, do not do a Google image search for Ribbon Girl, okay? I'm just throwing it out there. But my daughter absolutely loves the girl that has the hair, and I have a feeling that next year at PAX, we're probably going to see at least one of her. Because, I mean, just make a wig, right? Like, that just feels like a relatively cool cosplay. It's a cool costume, you know, fashionable clothes, and then just like a really bad wig, you know what I mean? but I don't know. My daughter loved her. My sons, everybody picked like their favorite character, right? Like,
wow.
But they still are like, eh, you know?
Interesting.
But,
yeah. Oh, I see.
You look her up.
Did you just Google Ribbon Girl?
Yes. Of course I did. Because the second time he said it, and I was going to last time off air, and I didn't remember.
Now you understand.
So I had to. Yes, but to be fair, they're like 3 pages down now. So.
All right. Still.
They're like 3 pages of Nintendo pictures now before you get to what I'm at least assuming is what you're alluding to.
I mean... Anyone over the age of 18 probably knows what I'm talking about. And we don't need to see that. I have respect for our
But what's funny about
listeners.
That is there's a show that my daughter watches called, see if you do plural, then we just, if you do girls, then it goes straight to what you're talking about.
Oh, all right. Well, spoilers. hey, here's a primer for how to find some crazy stuff. Just ask the good doctor. She'll tell you how to find stuff on the internet.
Well, what was... Oh, no, it's Sisters. It's Ribbon Sisters. There's a Ribbon Sisters in Sarah and Duck, a TV show that my daughter watches.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
So I kept thinking about that, and I'm like, oh. And then, but that's Sisters, and that's, yeah, definitely different. But anyway, so I had to. Like, I'm fascinated by Google searches, especially Google image searches. If you're ever really bored and want to be mildly entertained, just Google image search women eating salad.
Okay.
Not kidding. I'll just leave you with that tidbit.
Should I not do that at work?
That's fine. No, you can totally do it at work. It's not anything bad. I know you're thinking it's going to be dirty, but it's not actually dirty. It's just...
All right. Well, that's where I was just coming from, because...
It's just the thing, of course, because that's what we're talking about. But that's... Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's a bunch of stock footage that people would use in advertisements and
things.
Yeah,
but it's how happy they are.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. Women eating salad or women eating yogurt both come back with these, like,
Well, I mean, that's stock.
Spider salad.
It's stock.
The most exciting thing I've ever had. Yeah. It's funny.
Now, I'm being real. There are some yogurts that I will eat, and they make me that excited. Like coconut. I'm not going to lie. Coconut yogurt makes me a very happy man. I don't know why. I don't know. Anyway, so anyway, right. ARMS is a video game. It's very clearly a video game. It's coming out very soon. We'll find out if it sucks or not. I'll find out next weekend, really. I hope, for Nintendo's sake, it doesn't suck. I love their momentum, right? Like, things are going well for them. Even the people who hate them have to recognize that things are going well for them. But I don't know if it's big enough that if it was bad, it would be a problem, or if it would just be forgotten. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Sony could lay an egg right now, and I don't think anybody would really care. You know, because Spider-Man's coming soon and, you know, whatever. But like, I don't know. And Horizon was really good.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking about the momentum, this momentum that Steven is talking about, according to NPD, which is the company that tracks hardware sales and software sales and all that kind of stuff. Yep. The Switch outsold Xbox One and PS4 during the month of April. It also did so during the month of March. In April, 280,000 units.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. And then Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was it the best-selling game?
Yep.
Something like that?
Yeah, it was.
Best-selling game, too. So, Switch does have lots of momentum moving into.
So,
I'm curious to see just on the... It's sort of like the Switch is like in everybody's face right now because it's the new thing. So I'm interested to see how things might shift after E3 with all the big announcements that will be coming from Microsoft and Sony, without a doubt. So I'm interested to see that. But Switch doing very well.
Yeah.
And they're supposedly back in stock at Toys R Us. Is it Toys R Us? Or?
Today.
I heard they were on Amazon today.
The day that you listen to this. It will be at stock on Amazon, on Toys R Us. So maybe sold out by the time. But this is... So I want to pose a question to the panel.
Okay.
How many months... Because I came up after seeing that press release, and I told my wife, like, man, NPD, 2 months in a row. That's pretty all right. And she was like, but it's new. Yeah. So who cares?
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, fair point.
Yeah.
How many months in a row would they need to be the number one console before we would say it's not new anymore? This is a thing.
I don't know. Well, you would have to wait, actually, I think, until I guess PS4 Pro is already out. I would say Project Scorpio is going to throw a wrench in all that stuff. I don't think it's easy to
the $600 HD premium box is going to throw a wrench in the Switch. You think it's going to compete?
I don't know. It depends on what it is.
Basically, I just think it's a different market.
A disclaimer for Steven that we don't know how much it costs or when it's coming out.
True, but Mr. Spencer. the CEO of Microsoft, has been using the word premium.
Wait. He's head of Microsoft Games.
Microsoft Games. Now she goes and corrects me. She doesn't fact check me about nothing. All of a sudden we get into Microsoft stuff. So anyway, yes, Mr. Spencer, the head of the games division of Microsoft, has been throwing around the word premium like a lot. I can't even come up with an appropriate analogy. That's how much he's been doing it. And so to me, that screams that the Scorpio is going to be really expensive. It's the most powerful box in history. Like, I don't know. And either way, I don't know. I mean, I'm not convinced that they're going to be on the same level. I don't think that the success of the Switch, which even if it's temporary success, I don't think the success of the Switch is necessarily eating into the PlayStation 4 or the Xbox mm-hmm. One right now, because I think they're different. I really think that there are a fair number of people. It's come at it from both ends, right? There are some people that look at it as a new Nintendo home console. There are a lot mm-hmm. of people that view this as an upgrade over the 3DS.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you look at it as an upgrade over the 3DS, because there are plenty of households that had, you talk to people that have they got a 13-year-old and they got their Xbox One and they got their 3DS from when they were younger, right?
Yeah.
And they're fine with having a handheld game system and a home console. But there's no way they would ever buy a PS4. That's crazy. Well, yeah. I have all of them, but that's because I'm a crazy person.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm a crazy person and I need them for work. But, your average consumer doesn't have, every single console. So I think this is, if ever there was a time where Nintendo can slide in and be like, hey, what's up? I'll be your second console. Because at the very least, it's a handheld. You can play it in the car and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But, I mean, if it comes out and if it rounds out the year and runs the table, can we, at some point we have to say it's not because it's new, it's because it's actually interesting.
Yeah, I would say by the end of the year, probably. Right. I mean, a lot of this is going to, it's going to play out after E3, too. So if Sony or Microsoft have really great announcements and people are excited to have those games, then the sales of those consoles could spike up, too. So
you're right.
That's true.
So we'll learn a lot after E3, which is coming up in June, so soon.
26 days.
Don't remind me.
26 days.
Don't remind me. I have so much work to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's Nintendo. So if we want to hear Steven talk some more, which I'm sure he will. Sorry, Steven. I'm being a little snarky today.
Yeah.
There's Overwatch is just about a year old, and they're having a special anniversary event, which starts on May 23rd. They haven't given many details exactly what it's going to be, but should be cool. Who is the guy from Blizzard? Game director, Jeff Kaplan from Blizzard. They just did a big presentation. So they talked about a few things, one of which meaning that they're going to re-release the game as a Game of the Year edition, which will have the base game as well as some of the extra digital stuff that you could buy separately.
I have a list. Would you like that list?
You have a list. Yeah, go ahead.
In fact, if anyone's curious, you want to see a link to the video, get some of the details, you can head over and see my news post on engagefamilygaming.com. But reading directly, and I quote from the journalist Stephen Dutzman, he's got his finger on the pulse. In the Game of the Year edition, you get 10 bonus. You get it's first off, it's digital only. This is one thing that's noting. They're not putting out a physical edition of the Game of the Year edition. It's only digital. So you get the game, Xbox One, PS4, PC, 10 bonus loot boxes, Blackwatch Reyes and Strike Commander Morrison skins. Blackwatch Reyes is Reaper.
Okay.
And Strike Commander Morrison, I'll be honest, I don't know who that is because I'm not an Overwatch lorehound, but I'm guessing that's Soldier 76. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. And then you also get stuff in other Blizzard games because this is what Blizzard does. You get Tracer unlocked in Heroes of the Storm. You get a baby Winston pet in World of Warcraft. You get Mercy's Wings in Diablo 3. That's not a terribly good reward because Mercy's Wings look like crap in Diablo 3, but whatever. You get in-game portraits of Tracer, Reaper, Pharaoh, Winston, Bastion, and Soldier 76 in StarCraft 2, and a special Hearthstone card back. Now,
ooh,
that special Hearthstone card bag. Nicole, you tempted? Are you tempted?
No.
No? All right.
No. Well, I mean, I would have to see what it looks like. But also, you know, I was all crazy about the old gods card back with the sort of like little moving eyeball, which we bought that expansion because my husband said, hey, let's do this. So I was like, hey, whatever. I don't even use that card back anymore. I went through my whole collection of them to see which one I liked the best. And I'm using the like purple, the purple card back with like a green like mist thing around it, which was related to when something was happening in World of Warcraft. I don't even remember, but
probably
it's the card that I think looks the coolest.
I use the Overwatch one. I use the Overwatch card back so hard. I love the Overwatch card back. This is a good deal. I mean, it's fine. I mean, the reality is they're gonna have a free weekend from the 26th to the 29th.
Right.
And what's cool is if you play it any during that free weekend, any of your anything you earn will carry over if you buy the game afterwards. Here's my suggestion. Buy freaking Overwatch. Everybody, just buy Overwatch. This is a game, if you like shooters, right? This is the game that is defining shooters right now. So especially if you play competitive shooters, right? Even if you don't play Overwatch yet, you play Call of Duty, you play whatever. If you want to play at a high level and you want to stay ahead of the curve, I mean this, I'm not even joking, play Overwatch. Because every company, as we move down in the future, is chasing Overwatch because of its success. It's worth $60. It really is. It's worth $60 for the game in and of itself because Blizzard supports it with free updates. But knowing the future of shooters by playing this game is really interesting. We're going to be, 10 years from now, we're going to be on this podcast, talking about, I'm just saying, or I'm going to be on some other podcast. I'll be podcasting in 10 years. I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm going to be on something talking about
somewhere
a game that has Overwatch in its blood, because that's how important this game is. So just buy Overwatch.
So it's the new Doom is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's setting the new bar because that was essentially the first shooter, right? So that's the one that's set.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there have been, you know, leaps and bounds since then.
No, but
that's what I always think of it like the beginner.
No, that absolutely makes sense. Beginning. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And it's
okay, very
important for games. So, I mean, if you don't have $60 and you want to spend it, I mean, obviously that advice is stupid. But if you really want to know about games and their DNA and how they evolve over time, then Overwatch is probably just as important as Mario 64. And Mario 64 invented a way of playing video games. I think Overwatch is doing the same thing.
Okay, other stuff. They're actually making some little tweaks during this anniversary event, too. They're giving one of the characters is getting a new, an emote or something like that? Which this caught my eyes because it's so silly looking. But this character, I don't even remember what this character is. It's Reaper. He's like, you can do like this shrug thing that he was seen doing in the Uprising comic. And the Polygon article has a screenshot of it, and it just looks really ridiculous. So that's funny.
This is going to be that game, man. It's just going to get more and more ridiculous. It's already not exactly serious.
Right. So other news here. Squirtle is going to be the next Pokemon that will be available in Build-A-Bear following Pikachu, Eevee, and Charmander.
Yeah.
It's adorable. I mean, they've all been adorable.
Yeah.
So he will be available on June 1st in stores. And then I assume, I didn't read the whole story, but I assume you can order them online. That's the way it's been with the other ones, too.
Yeah. That's how it always is. That's just how it works with all this stuff.
There are some cute little coats that go with it. Like, there's like a... it like a rain jacket?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like clear. Yeah.
That's very cute. And there's there's another jacket, too. So, that's happening. You know, Anna's into Pokemon now, so, before I didn't have to worry about walking past the Build-A-Bear.
Oh, you're getting one.
In the mall. And
you're getting one, dude. You're getting one.
I don't know. You know what she would do? She would see this, and she would be, do they have, I'm trying to remember what the name is. I think it's Blastroise? Something like that?
Oh, the
is
evolved
her favorite?
Form. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it the evolved form of the Squirtle?
Squirtle evolves to Wartortle, who then evolves to Blastoise.
Oh, okay. Blastoise is her favorite Pokemon.
The
at
tank.
This point. She's always, yeah.
Literally the tank.
Yeah. My sister bought her like this like crazy like 100 pack of tiny little Pokemon figures.
Yep.
You can see these teeny little things. And she gave me some to put on my desk. And one of the ones that she gave me was Blastoise, and I'm like, are you sure? She's like, oh yeah, and then she took it away and then brought back another one. So yeah, so that's her favorite.
That was a Dragonite,
so yeah, so we'll
by
see.
The way, I don't know if you knew the one you just showed us, that was Dragonite.
Oh yeah,
just letting you know.
Yeah, no,
in case you didn't.
This one is nuts. Can you see this?
That's,
do you know who this is?
That is Abra.
Okay,
he evolves into Kadabra. I'm not even joking.
Okay. It looks like he's holding spoons.
Oh, he absolutely
is. Does he hold spoons?
Yep.
Okay.
And he bends them with his mind. And also, you don't know.
Oh.
It's worth noting, and I say this, you can't assume the gender of most Pokemon because they look the same mostly if they're female or male. So you can't assume that that's a he.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Your daughter,
yeah,
if I know your daughter as well as I do, she will eventually correct you on that. So I'm just preparing you.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I'm sure she will. Yeah, so that's Squirtle, June 1st. Let's see.
Yeah, we're already...
$28, the standard.
Yeah, we're already
and he's gonna
stuck
come,
in one.
Right? And he's going to come with a special card, yeah. A Pokemon card with him. So I'm hoping we can dodge that bullet, but we'll just have to see.
You didn't.
She definitely doesn't need any more cards.
Oh,
no.
You always
no,
need
your picture
more cards.
From her birthday
she
was
went
impressive
to a,
enough.
A birthday, she went to another birthday party a couple weeks ago, and the little boy is a crazy Pokemon fan, so his birthday was Pokemon too. And I was very impressed. They gave, or at least, I don't know if maybe they just gave her and her goodie bag, but it didn't have her name on it or anything. But there were 10 cards in that goodie bag. They weren't in a pack. They were just loose. And so Isaac's like, how'd you get 10 cards? And like, I'm like, well, you know, this kid, he probably has a really huge collection, so he probably went through his collection and like, picked out his duplicates and all the stuff that he didn't want and put them into a pile, and those were the goodie bags.
You could also buy them in lots on eBay for not a lot.
Ah, okay. Mm. Well, that's maybe
if
what
were,
she
like,
did,
20
too.
Kids, you could just buy, like, a lot of 200 Pokemon Commons for not much.
Right.
Ah, that's possibly what she did as well. So,
Getting a five-year-old to give up his Pokemon cards, I don't know if I would believe that.
Yeah.
Well, technically he's 7. It was a dual birthday party with him and his little sister. Anna's friends with his little sister. She was turning 5, just like Anna. But
okay.
But also too, his mom is she's like a crazy like a very good cake designer. She made a Pokeball cake by herself, covered in fondant, globe shaped cake, everything. It was amazing. I was like, wow. I was almost going to ask her to make Anna's birthday cake, but then I'm like, no, she's got both of her kids have birthdays coming up. I'm not going to do that to her. But anyhow, so that's Pokemon. We got, you know what? I'm going to skip over. We got more Pokemon news. Pokemon Go is having a new event, which starts after you listen to this. It will be going. It starts May 18th and will run through May 25th. And you're looking for fossils. So, it'll be the, I still don't know, rock type Pokemon. I got to learn more about this. Or maybe I don't. My daughter will just fill me in on it.
Yeah, she'll teach you.
So those are going to be more, so these rock type Pokemon are going to be more common. All of the Pokestops are going to drop, more events than they typically do. So yeah, especially since I expect to see them doing more and more of these events since it's getting warm again outside.
Yep.
And it makes makes more viable for that game to get popular again. So that's Pokemon Go. Now we're done with Pokemon news. So The Witcher is going to have a television show on Netflix. Which is kind of neat. What is that, Steven?
That was my shrug. Does this have a chance of being any even kind of good?
Yeah, actually, I think it does, because now I haven't watched, but my friends who have read the books and are watching say that The Expanse is fabulous on Sci-Fi, and those are the producers that are working on this Witcher project. So,
all right.
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with the story because I haven't played any of them. But apparently, I didn't even realize that there's a whole series of books and story collections that are basically the source material for the games. So we'll see. It's going to be, I don't think they announced a date. It's in development. So we'll see.
I don't know. Has there been any movie property that came from a video game that was good? Any of them?
No.
No.
Yeah.
But this is, TV series, though, so
That's true. They might be able to unpack it a little better.
Yeah. And it was a book.
Yeah.
Before it was a game. So, I don't know. So we'll see.
Source material for it to give it potential. Yeah. And, I don't know, Netflix has been doing good with the things that, you know, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon are all doing good with their original offerings and what they adapt, so.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll give it a chance.
Yeah, so we'll see. Let's see. So Ubisoft's E3 stuff got confirmed today. Their press conference will be held June 12th at 1 p.m., which is the typical time for their E3 press conference. Are you guys going to go to this press conference?
No.
I'm just curious.
Press conferences are by invite only from the company. Right. I asked. They haven't responded yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to tell you, sorry, Ubisoft, but their press conferences are terrible. Oh, my God. They're so long.
I disagree with you 100%.
And they are so boring.
Disagree with you 100%. Aisha Tyler makes me so happy every time she does this. I love her irrationally. And so, yeah, they're long. But I get to hang out with her. That's the only, because I don't watch any of the shows that she's on, so this is like the only time of the year that I get to hang out with her. Because I don't like any of the shows that she's on. Like, I don't like Archer or whatever. So, like, this is my time, other than Twitter, to hang out with Aisha Tyler.
Okay.
Or Alicia.
I almost forgot that we were watching the press conference together last year. And I kind of checked out. Let you and Eric cover the whole thing. I'm just like,
I know.
Yeah, whatever.
Spoilers. I noticed. It's fine. But no, I don't. It is very unlikely that we'll be attending, and that's on Tuesday, right? Is it Tuesday or no? Is it Monday?
Tuesday.
I think it's Monday. Is it Tuesday?
No, it's Tuesday,
June 12th.
So we'll be.
Yeah.
So it's taking place before. Like,
oh,
we'll,
is that the yeah, that's the right day we fly in, right?
Yeah, we will 12th. Probably be watching
it's a Monday.
It during dinner after the show. I'll be watching it late. I'm going to have the I'm going to have the home crew handling that one, at least live.
Cool.
And by home crew, I mean you and my brother.
Oh, you know what? Why don't you just designate Ubisoft to your brother? Because I don't know if you heard me say before that I totally checked out of that one last year.
I'm probably just going to watch it and do everything that night.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I don't want to help you, but, you know.
You just don't want to do Ubisoft.
But anyhow.
It's fine.
So they've confirmed a few things that they're going to show more details about at E3. So Far Cry 5. It's definitely a thing. We're going to learn more about that at E3. And also the new Assassin's Creed. They haven't confirmed the name or anything like that. But we talked about it last week.
But it's Assassin's Creed Origins.
Rumored to be Assassin's Creed Origins and to take place in ancient Egypt. So we'll see. They'll be talking about that at their press release as well. Press release, press conference.
Yeah, the reason I'm not so worried about Ubisoft is, I don't know if you noticed, but most of those games are about stabbing dudes in the throat and or shooting them in the head. Not exactly anything we have to cover on EFG.
Right.
So it's pretty much, if they do that stupid Rabbids cross Super Mario Brothers RPG and Just Dance and The Crew 2, right now are the only three things that matter. So it's like most of their press conference is killing dudes, which I don't care about. So it's very different. The press conference work division, the first step is, do we give a crap? And most of the time the answer is no when it comes to Sony and Ubisoft, because like Sony doesn't make anything that's less than T-rated, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. But it's just, they're going to Egypt, right? Like, we know that. Like, I don't know why they didn't just shut up and say it, you know? Like, just shut up and say it. Why? Why are you hiding this? You know that Kotaku got you. They got you because you are leakier than a sieve. Just give up. Jason Schreier owns you.
Wow.
I got respect for that guy, man. He's a ninja. He must do, like, some Watch Dogs stuff, you know? Like, sneaking in, using, like a drone. Like, I imagine him to be, like, the guy from Watch Dogs 2. Climbing walls. He's got, like, a remote control helicopter with, like, a USB port that, like, is remote controlled and everything. That's what I imagine Jason Schreier is like with Ubisoft.
Okay. Spoiler, Steven, I don't think that he's probably really like that. I think he just knows a lot of people.
You are 0% fun today. Like, why are you allergic to fun today of all days? You know? Anyway, go on, boss.
No, that was all the news that I had. Did you have anything else to add?
I do, as a matter of fact. How did we make it through this entire podcast and not talk about Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2?
Oh, I didn't even see anything about that.
No, me neither.
All right, guys, let's talk about Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2. So Lego Marvel Super Heroes 1 came out a couple years ago. It was a big success. Because all Lego games are a success because Legos. And so
even if they're not very good,
I don't think it matters. I think it's kind of like,
that's true.
Telltale games aren't very good either, but those are still successful.
How many of those have you actually played?
I don't play a lot of them, but
Telltale games are good.
Oh, I'm not saying that
they're good.
I'm not saying they're all hysterically bad. Every single one of them. I mean, read Patrick Klippik's article about those games. Who was he even talking about? I completely lost their name.
Telltale
games. Yeah. He wrote a whole thing about the fact that their engine is garbage and their games break. Every time I try and play one, it breaks. Although I am enjoying Guardians of the Galaxy. Hmm. So there's that. But, anyway, Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, the last one was basically based on the movie universe, but not really. This one is definitely not. It's going to be all about time and different dimensions, and they have Spider-Gwen, and they have a cowboy, Captain America. You guys know who Spider-Gwen is, right? Do the two of you know?
Nope.
Okay, so in another dimension, so you know that that comic books don't know how to keep to one dimension. They have multiple dimensions.
Right.
On another Earth.
Multiple universes.
There's another Earth where Gwen Stacy gets bit by the radioactive spider as opposed to Peter Parker, and she becomes Spider-Gwen. She goes by something else on the street, like for her name, but the comic is called Spider-Gwen. Her costume is super badass. Because it's basically like a white hoodie. So like she puts up the hoodie and it kind of like, it's just rad. And so she's in it and there's a cowboy Captain America and Rocket Raccoon and Baby Groot. And so like, they're fighting Kang the Conqueror, who is like an old school Marvel villain who makes perfect sense for a trans-dimensional / time-traveling Marvel movie. Or Marvel thing. It's coming out in November for everything, including probably a toaster. But at the very least, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch later on in the year. It's actually not coming out to the 3DS. So...
Oh. Are they still... I know in the past, they've still been doing 360 and PS3 as well. Are they still doing that? Or
you know what? Let me look.
They're like one of the only ones that were still doing that.
No.
Okay.
So I guess it's not on everything. I'm just so used to saying Lego games are on everything. In this case, it's next-gen consoles. A Switch version is coming at a later date. It will be after the launch, which bothers me a little bit, but I think it makes sense. My guess is they weren't going to do it on the Switch until the Switch started selling well, and then they were like, whoa. Yeah. We got to do this. But I mean, it's a Lego game. I'm excited about it. There's a teaser trailer. A actual trailer is coming on May 23rd, so next week. So that is that. I have more news. I write news now for my site, so I actually have stuff that I'll be able to help with. This is a minor footnote, but it's worth it because it's a cool game. Star Ocean Till the End of Time is being released digitally next week on the PS4. It's a PS2 RPG that's being kind of remastered and given trophy support. This is one of the best space-based role-playing games in a very long time, and it's only like $20. So if you have a PlayStation 4 and you're looking for something to play until the next Final Fantasy game comes out in July, have at it. It's only $20. And what else? I had another thing. I guess I don't have another thing. That's it. There's a Legend of Zelda Clue coming from USAopoly.
A Legend of Zelda Clue?
Yep.
Oh, you mean like a board game?
Yeah, the board game. Legend of Zelda branded Clue. In the same batch, they also announced a Golden Girls branded Clue, and I think I might be more excited about that one, because in that game, you're trying to figure out which Golden Girl ate the last piece of cheesecake. And if you think I'm joking, I'm legit not even kind of joking.
Wow. Oh,
you guys,
man.
Golden Girls fans? Did you guys like Golden Girls?
Basic. Yeah, it was a cool show. I wouldn't say it wasn't my favorite, but it was a funny show.
Speaking of shows, did you guys see the trailer for The Orville? Tell me you saw the trailer for The Orville. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Okay, so you know who Seth MacFarlane is, right?
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, I did. I know what you're talking about.
Oh,
Seth MacFarlane has a Star Trek show, basically.
Yes. Okay, yes.
It looks funny.
So I showed the trailer to my wife without any warning. And at the end, she just looked at me like, what are you doing? Why are you showing me? Because she does not like space stuff at all.
Okay.
And so showing her a parody of space stuff by a comedian that she doesn't particularly like, really, I was just being a troll. Because I knew she wasn't going to win. But,
wow.
So, that's all I got.
Okay. All right. Then let's move into what we've been playing. Hey, Steven, why don't you start us this week?
Sure, I can do that. I've been playing a lot of stuff, playing a lot of Graceful Explosion Machines. I am done with it. It is very, very hard. I also realized 7 or 8 hours into it that it is not plural. It is Graceful Explosion Machine. I've been saying it wrong since I got it. There is a review up on EngageFamilyGaming.com. I think it is actually the best video game not called Legend of Zelda on the Nintendo Switch. It's really, really good. It's also only $12. So if you're looking for like a little pickup and play action and you're on the Switch, I highly recommend it. They are not, they're being...
Were you, is EFG giving away a copy of that?
Oh,
did
yeah.
You see that?
I was going to talk about that eventually.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it now. But I do want to say one thing. I asked them when I spoke to them if it was ever coming to other consoles or if this was locked in permanent as a Nintendo exclusive. And their phrasing was... At this time, we have no further announcements. So, if you do not own a Switch, you're probably not completely hit, because I have a feeling that maybe next year, maybe holiday time, this is absolutely going to play on everything. So, I think this would be an awesome You know, I think it'd be an awesome Vita game. But at the very least, I absolutely think this would be beautiful on the PS4 or the Xbox One. And it is a must-play. This game is so good. Especially if you like shmups. With that said, if you own a Switch and you didn't buy it yet, perhaps you might want a free copy of it. So my recommendation is we have a little giveaway going on where we have been provided a code. We might even be getting more. Where if you will join the Engage Family Gaming community and comment on our pinned post with what your favorite arcade game was from when you were a kid or now, then you get an entry into our raffle. Further, if you post on social media with a picture of you or your family at an arcade or at an arcade machine and use the hashtag EFGArcade, we'll also find you, and that gives you another entry. So you got two chances, folks, to get a free game.
Wow. Too bad we don't have the Switch. It would be really easy for us to get a picture near an arcade machine.
Because you have a bunch of arcades because you live in Seattle. Blah, blah. That's awful.
No, we own four. Oh. So all we would have to do is go downstairs. Isaac's dad was like a crazy collector of gaming machines. So we have pinball machines too. Not all of them are in the best shape, but we have a Donkey Kong. I mean, everybody has a Donkey Kong, but still.
I want to be clear. I do not have a Donkey Kong.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't even have a MAME cabinet. I just
mean people who have arcade machines. Pretty much everybody has a Donkey Kong.
Oh, all right.
We have a Captain Fantastic pinball machine, which is pretty cool, too. It's the Elton John themed pinball machine.
I bet you it's fabulous.
Anyhow. It is fabulous. It is.
So that's great. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you had a Switch, you might have a chance. But that giveaway is ending Monday afternoon at Monday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern. My community manager will be picking it. Yes, I said that. I actually have a community manager now. Her name is Courtney. Not your Courtney. That would be weird.
I was like, what?
Well, how crazy would that be? That'd be the equivalent of your Courtney, like, joining the NWO. Do you understand that reference?
No.
How do you not understand? That's a wrestling reference. That would be.
Of course I don't understand it, then. What do you expect?
You worked at IGN for years.
Yeah, and I plugged my ears every time.
Anyway.
You know, it was like the adults and Peanuts talking when they were talking about wrestling. It's like, rah, 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 rah.
That's not what the adult and Peanuts
are. That's what I hear.
Anyway, so, all right. Anyway, so that's one thing. I was playing Grateful Explosion Machines. I have been working my way through Chapter 1 of the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale game. I mean, it plays like crap, but it looks cool. The only thing I don't like about it is that it is decidedly, like, it looks like the Guardians of the Galaxy. But, like, it ain't.
Yeah.
Because it's not Chris Pratt and all them. Like, it's just close enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not.
They don't have the...
No.
Okay, that's kind of weird, because in Game of Thrones, they had all of the real voices.
Chris,
were in there.
My guess is that Chris Pratt is kind of expensive right now.
Yeah.
So...
He's probably. It boy.
Yeah, he's kind of a big deal. So, but it's good. I mean, it's fine. The real, like, the big thing that I did, I threw out a little tweet storm about it the other day. My family started playing Final Fantasy X together.
Mm.
Like, we pulled out, I threw in the disc, and we were playing Final Fantasy X, and my wife had the controller, and I was sitting at the laptop, and my two sons were watching and asking questions, and we were just kind of playing through it. And we got through, like, the opening stages and, you know, to the... We probably got like 2.5 hours in. It was really interesting. I had not played it in a while. And so it was really cool to have an opportunity to, like, kind of experience what is probably one of my favorite games. With my oldest son, who was, like, asking questions, who was really engaged and interested. What I learned was, if you have favorite things, you know, especially games, like, play them with your kids. Don't just hand them to your kids and walk away. Like, actually play with them.
Right.
Because I think that is a different experience than, like, having them. And it's uniquely video game, right? Like, you can, maybe it's a little bit like you can watch Star Wars with your kid and that's it. But video games are slow and plotting and they kind of play out, you know? I think it's different than, like, handing your kid your favorite book. You know, because
yes,
that's, like, all in their own head. So, yeah, it was interesting. Right. We're going to, I am trying to play through all the Final Fantasy games again so that I can do some stuff regarding that series. And so, and it's really kind of preparing because Final Fantasy XII, the Zodiac Age, is coming out in July. So I'm really trying to kind of get there.
That's a lot of long games to get through. Isn't that a little ambitious? Before July?
No. It's not before July. That's crazy.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get through 10 before July.
July is not that far away.
Oh, you're trying to get through 10. Okay.
I'm going to get through 10 before July. No. That's insanity. What I'm trying to do is I actually want to try and be able to play them all, because there are some of them that are kind of locked away. You know, most of them are on Steam, but it's expensive. So, you know, like I'm getting myself set up because I do want to play them. I've been informed by some folks on the Twitter that I need to play Final Fantasy VIII again. Even though I hated that game, I've been told that I need to play it with a different frame of mind, and maybe I'll like it different, and I'm willing to give it a try because I respect these people, but I'm going to be real mad if they were wrong.
Yeah. 8 is Jessica Chobot's favorite of the Final Fantasy series. Everybody found that kind of odd, but, you know.
I mean,
8 was her favorite. I'm just saying.
I played through it when I was in college. When it just came out, I bought the game. It's interesting. I mean, but I hated the characters. Like, I just wanted to hit them.
Oh, okay.
But it was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, for the time, like, holy crap, it was cool. I don't begrudge anybody that likes it, right? Like, if Jessica Chobot was, like, standing right there, first off, like, I don't know what we would be talking about, but, like, if it came up, and she was, I wouldn't be like, you're an idiot, you know what I mean? Like, that would be rude. I wouldn't say that. But I just don't understand it is a big thing. Like, I just don't get how it could be anybody's favorite, but it, you know. I think that's like people who are like, Revenge of the Sith is my favorite Star Wars movie. Like, I don't get it, but fine, whatever. I mean, that's your mistake, but, you know. Am I being unreasonable on that, Regina? It's like.
No, I mean, everybody. We had this moment on one of our hangouts recently. We're talking about Harry Potter houses, and I ended it by asking everybody who is the character that they identified the most with. Mm-hmm. And Isabella said that Draco was the character that, like, her, like, you know, most beloved character was Draco. And then we spent, like, 2 minutes of awkward silence as she tried to explain to us why and the connection she had. And she even tweeted about it later saying, you know, in which I try to explain why Draco is my forever love. And I was just like, Draco? And, you know, I don't want to, like, be, you're wrong, but I kind of want to be, like, you're wrong. Because how can anybody have Draco be their favorite character? And I feel the same way about Revenge of the Sith. So.
Some people just like the bad guys. I mean, that's it.
It could be. I think she had more of a, like, the way she described it. It was the, she felt a certain amount of empathy for him having been placed in such an awkward position by his parents. Because if you do think about it, like, a lot of Draco's actions are directly a result of decisions his parents made before he was born, before he was born, before they had kids. And he really was just a product of his environment in a lot of ways. And I think she felt a lot of empathy for him because of that. And I think that that's not something to be overlooked. And I really shouldn't be saying, you know, you're wrong. But, you know, when there are so many characters that, like, you have so many other characters to pick from, it's really interesting to think of somebody singling that out. But with Revenge of the Sith, I'm trying to think of, like, what a similar theme would be that you could, like, relate to.
I don't think there is any. It's hot garbage, dude. It's hot garbage.
There's just no.
It's hot garbage. In defense of Draco Malfoy, to borrow the wrestling term, he did a little bit of a face turn towards the end, right? Like, he.
Yeah.
Kind of did. And she elaborates on that in The Cursed Child, which is what I brought up at that point. I'm like, have you read The Cursed Child? Because he, you know, spoiler, if anybody's interested in reading it and hasn't, Draco ends up with a half-blood woman or a muggle-born. I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, so he makes a choice to go against, like, his family's, like, one, like,
he turns,
you know,
face.
Outstanding. Just, yeah. But it's confirmed. Like, because he's kind of, like, you're kind of, you know, maybe in the books. And then it's just sort of confirmed in the Cursed Child. So, I don't know. Favorites are hard. Digging into what people really, you know, really love and for what reason, and they're not always rational, so.
And I just lean into it, is the way I've decided. And I talked about this on Twitter also, is that I have decided that I don't have time to, like, to just not be excited about stuff. Like Destiny 2 is getting revealed, like, tomorrow. Like, the gameplay reveal for Destiny is tomorrow. That's why we're not talking about it today. We'll talk about it next week, right?
See? Like, we appreciate your fanboy, Steven.
But it's not fanboy. Hold on. Fanboy is fanboy is where it gets... I'm a Nintendo fanboy. Won't lie about that. That's just... But I don't even think fanboy is the right word. I am a slave to them. They tweeted something random, like a really bad joke, and they said you have to retweet it, and I did. And I don't even know why. It wasn't even all that funny, but I did it. This is a picture of Toad. I bought it. I drove to many, many McDonald's trying to buy those stupid McDonald's toys.
The collection.
I still don't have a Yoshi or a 1-Up, but I have almost the entire set.
You don't have a Yoshi?
Don't have a Yoshi
said?
Or a 1-Up yet. We have
That's the one that we have. We have Yoshi.
Well, I mean, eventually I'm going to find it. I mean, it's going to be around for another, like, week or two, so I'll get it. You can buy them. They're a dollar, so it's not like it's really a problem. Yeah. But, like, so... I am a slave to Nintendo, but like Destiny, I didn't play the first game, right? I didn't play it. I played the beta and decided I didn't want to play it because there's no pause button. But like, I'm excited about the second one because it looks freaking cool, right? And so, like, I'm talking to people, I'm like, this is freaking awesome. Like, I'm really excited. I will probably never play this game, but I don't have time in my life to spend time and be like, well, you know, that first one was so-so, and, you know, the narrative was really bad, so I don't know, hopefully... Like, how about I just screw that? I'm just going to be really excited, because robots with lasers, right? Like, that's just my life. Maybe I'm just not jaded, but that's my... that's just what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be excited about stuff, because why the hell not? And sometimes I'll be disappointed.
Okay, was there anything else that you were playing? We've kind of gotten off on a tangent.
We sidetracked. It's fine. No, I'm not playing anything.
It's a rabbit hole. It was a fun rabbit hole, though. Yeah.
Okay. Regina, what have you been playing?
I've been playing... I went back to play a little bit more Plants vs. Zombies because I'm working on my book, and it helps me focus, oddly enough. get some work done on that chapter, which I think you will really appreciate that chapter. I had a friend of mine read it. In its draft form, Nicole, and you said it was one of your favorite games. So
yeah,
I'm thinking you'll enjoy it. so I worked on that a little bit. I've been playing the games on my phone that I play, my mobile games, Plants vs. Zombies Heroes. I really just go in and do the daily now. I've kind of lost interest in because I unlocked all the heroes, and I think that was my mastery moment, and I didn't even play, like, the last hero that I unlocked hardly at all. I was like, okay, I'm done with this for now. I might go back later. Playing Type Shift. I don't know if anybody else is keeping up with Type Shift. And I played some board games this weekend. I talked about Time Stories last week, and we finished the first chapter of Time Stories and started the second expansion, which has... It uses the same basic game mechanics and the board and the setup, and you buy new cards for it. As you kind of go through the different stories, and I think I mentioned it's time travelers. And so in this one, we're actually facing zombies now. Mm-hmm. So it jumped from being in a mental institution to being, people looking for a missing girl in a zombie apocalypse, essentially. Which is really interesting because everything moves really slowly in the in terms of action in the first story. You really have to get to the catacombs and, like, underneath to actually face any bad guys. And this, like, the first thing that happens is you have to kill a zombie. So it's like, I wondered if, like, some of the feedback was, oh, this is a great game, but it's a little slow to start because it's like, bang, okay, here are two zombies that are in your face. And if you don't deal with this card right now, then you don't get a chance to deal with it later. Yeah. Which was an interesting mechanic, too. So that's been pretty fun. We were comparing it to kind of choose your own adventure, since you have to.
Cool.
But you can't you can't write anything down, so you can't remember anything, and you have to restart at a certain point. And so we got through one jump, sort of one 30 turns, and then had to like stop because we had the end of our day. But yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Good adventure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Like I said before, I've been a broken record because I'm still playing the same things. Hearthstone, Typeshift. I still go in and do the daily puzzle most days, and I have a pack that that I'm still working through too. And Cooking Dash, which coming up against the pretty heavy paywall. Like, I've been able to sort of like work my way around them, but I'm going to have to do like lots of sort of waiting and earning things before I can really make any more progress. But that's okay. I'm cool with that. And then playing Horizon again this weekend. I played for one of the days, Saturday. I think it was Saturday. I played most of the day. I played so much that I played into the early evening and started getting motion sick, which was a bad idea.
Wow.
I didn't have my C-bands on because I didn't know where they were. But the reason I played so long is like, so I actually went through and did that crazy side quest that I talked about last week, where you had to go and kill the rock. Well, the killing the rock chewer or whatever it was, wasn't even half of it, because the end of the quest, you had to kill a Thunderjaw. So, but supposedly you had help. You had like two spearmen to help you, but they would like run in and then get killed right away. And that they would respawn again, like at some point, but yeah, they weren't any help. And I died doing that a couple of times. It probably took me about an hour when I was, that I died. And then the other thing too, is like, I'm like, oh my God, I need potions. I need all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, there's a campfire over there. Ran over to the campfire, fast traveled to where there was a merchant, stocked up on everything, fast traveled back, and the Thunderjaw's health got reset.
Generated.
So he was back at full health. But the last time I went to a campfire at a different location, I fast traveled back to a different location. I was actually up on a ledge on top of it. And it was a lot of like, shoot, 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 move away from the ledge so I don't get shot. Shoot, shoot, you know. But I did it. That's how I did it. And I didn't take like any damage when I did it that way. It took a long time, but I got it done. But then like, I was playing story stuff, and you know, I'm at the point where like, oh, here we go. This is going to be the end. And then nope. And I'm like, oh, okay, this. Okay, now this is going to be the end. Nope. And then I'm like, oh, okay, all right, this has got to be the end. And nope. So that's why I was playing so long. So I haven't finished it. I haven't finished it yet. I basically know the story now. Like, all of the secrets have been revealed. I know what Zero Dawn is. I know all this other kind
of
stuff.
Don't
tell
me.
Don't say it. No spoilers.
I'm hoping to finish it probably this weekend, and then I will jump into Mass Effect Andromeda. But that's me. So I think it's going to wrap it up for us this week. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any other feedback, you can send an email to gamingwiththemoms@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at gamingwithmoms. Regina, as noted at the top of the show, is from the Geek Embassy and is working on the book Mothering the Game. Regina, what would you like to talk about?
Oh, let's see. Over at the Geek Embassy, we have a hangout coming up this weekend, so you may or may not. You can check our podcast feed to listen to that. I still have to figure out what we're going to talk about.
Talk about your favorite things.
We might talk about our favorite things.
And dedicate that to me.
And we'll dedicate it to Steven. We are running our Pathfinder campaign. Look for episode 4 next week. Episode 3 is up and available right now, where we actually get to fight a bad guy. And
nice.
I roll single digits through the entire game.
That's
just, I'm the fighter, and
that's just how it
it's
works.
Always great when you're the first time you're fighting a bad guy, and you're the fighter, and you're the barbarian, and you roll single digits.
Do you have
great.
Other dice?
Great. I do have other dice. I have already located them, so I can swap them out. Which I feel terrible, because it's my Geek Girl Con dice I've been using.
They're letting you down.
It's like,
they're letting you down. I mean this with love to your Geek Girl Con dice. If they're rolling low, you got to ditch them. This is a tried and true, you have to get like 3d20s and you roll them each together before, and then you keep the one that's rolling high. Now, I know all you statisticians out there are like, Steve, that's not how that shit works.
Yeah.
Guess what? I know it's not how that works, but it feels better to me. Thank you very much. I'm going to pick the one that's rolling high. It doesn't make any sense. Yep. But you have to believe in the heart of the dice, as Yu-Gi-Oh! Would not say, because he talks about cards. But it's important.
I have to share this just because it relates to this. But a couple of the people that we play with have been using online dice rollers. So you can, you know, you can just go online and push a button. And they all hate them. And so when we went to record last time, Dante actually, he was sitting with his laptop on his lap. And he's like, I got to go get my dice. He's like, I can't do this without actual dice in my hand. I can't play this. And he like throws his laptop off his lap and runs to the other side of his room. And he comes back with three D20s all like shoved in between his fingers. And he's like, okay, I'm ready.
He's absolutely right.
Wow.
The digital thing sucks. The digital thing sucks.
Yeah, it just... Everybody's been having a bad day. I haven't. I've been using an actual die, and I wouldn't want it any other way, but I am. I have at least two or three other sets of gaming dice, and so I'm gonna grab one of them. I had to find the key to my desk to figure out how to get into the drawer so I could get one out.
Wow. I hope there wasn't anything else important in there.
No, it's just, like, pens and little, like, desk things.
Oh, okay.
And some random, you know, journals and little tchotchkes and stuff. They're really small drawers. They were, like, really tiny, like, you know, they don't really hold much of anything. But I had my gaming dice in them, and I like to keep my gaming dice in them because the toddler hands don't get on the gaming dice that way.
Right, yes.
Because toys. But anyway, I have discovered that I will be using different dice this time because I was just like, really? I think I rolled a 3 on my first hit. Which was a modified 9. It was awful. I was just like, come on.
Now you've. But the good news is, now you have been brought into the fold, right? You've had your bad dice night. I'll be like the Rocky's coach, right? It's like, it's okay. You had a bad night. You'll have a good night. It'll be fine. You just got to push through it. But you have to have multiple sets of dice. It's impossible otherwise.
Yep.
You got to be able to switch them out.
My husband has at least 6 sets, and he had each one for when he was a magic wielder, different colors for different types of damage he was doing, so red for fire and green for poison and white for ice and all that stuff. So if I did get desperate and I wanted to contaminate his dice, I could always go grab some of his. I won't, because he would kill me if I did, but...
Dice are cheap enough. If you need more, just get them.
Yeah.
All right. Steven is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com. Steven, what's up with EFG?
What isn't up with EFG? We got our podcast every week. We're actually recording in an hour and a half for our video game podcast. We got a bunch of new board game reviews up on the site. And we got that giveaway. I mean, if you have a Switch... Or if you know someone that has a Switch and you want to win something for them, hop on in, join the community. Giveaway's going on. By the time you read this, you'll have all weekend. And, you know, even if you don't want to join the community, throw up a post on Twitter or Instagram and just tag us and use that hashtag. That'll enter you also.
Cool.
All
right. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye, everybody.